All right. Well, I am excited to be with you and for us to be going into God's Word together again today. We're going through the book of Philippians. So if you have your Bible, please turn there with me. We are in chapter 2, and we will begin by reading verses 12 through 16 together today. And the title of this morning's message is Giving God Pleasure. Giving God Pleasure. There's an outline actually on the back of your bulletin that has some points that we're going to go through. Actually, we're going to do something different. We're going to go through them a couple of times this morning. We'll take the quick view, then we'll go back and we'll take the slower view. So we'll see how that works out for us. But let's read Philippians 2 beginning in verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. Please pray with me. Lord, we just bow our hearts and our heads, ourselves before you today. And we acknowledge, Father, how much we need you, Lord. We need to hear from you. And we thank you, Father, for giving us these words of Scripture from the very mouth of God. I pray, Lord, as we explore them today, that you'd be speaking into our hearts, into our minds, making things clear, Lord. Help us not to be confused about the great salvation that you've provided for us. Just make things crystal clear as only you can. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. This is a fascinating passage of Scripture. I find it so interesting that it's right here in the middle of this chapter. And I'm going to talk more about that a little bit later on. But going back to the very beginning of verse 12, look at what he says here. He so wants us to live like this. We are going through the book of Philippians, we have said many times, to discover how God wants us to live in this broken, needy place that we find ourselves. And here in this verse, Paul very specifically says, hey, even if I don't get to come and see you again, you know, even if I don't get to talk with you again, this is how I want you to be living. I want to hear a report about you. You know, I want other people to be coming to me. And you know those Philippians? This is what they're doing. And so he writes it out here for us so plainly. We're going to talk about three main ideas as we go through these verses about our salvation. God says we've been given a great salvation. The first idea, and these three are on the back of your bulletin if you want to be able to see them or take any notes. But the first idea is that salvation is something you own. The second is that salvation is something you live out. And the third idea is that salvation is someone who lives in you. So anyhow, with that in mind, we're going to actually start today by watching a video clip. And this video clip, some of you are probably already familiar with it. It's from the movie The Chariots of Fire. And just in case you're not familiar with it, that movie is about a man named Eric Little, and he ran in the Olympics in 1924 when they were in Paris. Really special young man. He later ends up becoming a missionary. One of the things that's so interesting, and I think this may even be one of the reasons that the book was written, the movie was made, he was supposed to run the 100-yard race. Back then it was yards, not meters. in those Olympics. But he declined because they held the tryout for the 100-yard race on Sunday. And so he's like, I'm a Christian. I want to honor God. I'm out. So he ends up running instead the 400-yard race, which is four times the length of what he was the strongest at. And so no one thought he was going to do much with it. But that's what this video clip is a little bit about. So I want you to notice two main things while you're watching the video clip. One is I'd like you to pay attention to what he says while he's running down the last stretch of the race. You might have to turn the volume up a little higher than you would think because the music's a little loud and his voice a little soft. But pay attention to what he says on that last stretch, and then pay attention to the celebration at the end of the video clip. If you would, go ahead and run that, brother.
Good luck. Don't expect I'll see you till after the race. What's the deal with this guy Little, coach? He a problem?
No problem. He's a flyer. He's had two races today already. He'll die. Just swing along, you guys, and wait. After 300 meters, rigor mortis sets in. You'll pull him in on a rope.
Johnson, Canada, number 400.
Good luck, Taylor. Watch out for Little. Coach says no problem. He's got something to prove, something personal. Something guys like Coach will never understand in a million years.
USA! 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 USA!
Jenny!
USA! 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 USA!
Says in the old book, he that honors me, I will honor. Good luck, Jackson Schultz.
Come!
So where does the power come from to see the race to its end? From within. Jenny, I believe God made me for a purpose. But he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure.
So, true story. Why in the world did we watch that video clip? What's it got to do with Philippians chapter 2? A couple of things I would like you to notice. First of all, I love the celebration that they have at the end. And I want you to have a celebration like that. And according to the Bible, if you're a Christian, you will. If you're not a Christian and you become a Christian, and today's a great opportunity, you will have a celebration like that. The Bible says that Christ is the victorious warrior. He has overcome sin, death, everything that we face. And he's offering us this gift of salvation. We're going to talk about it more as we go. But the Bible says on the day he returns, you're going to have a celebration like that. And I want every single one of us to have it. The second idea, salvation, that's salvation is something you own. The second idea, salvation is something you live out. Did you notice what he said? I don't know if you could quite hear it or not. But I love, at the end there, what they're trying to depict was his running style. Okay, people made fun of Eric Little for the way that he ran, because he would run with his head back and his mouth wide open and his arms flailing all over the place. And they're like, he can't get down the track that way. How's he win a race? And anyhow, so that's what they're depicting. But notice what he said. He says, Jenny, I believe God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. And so God wants life to be like that for you and me. Salvation is something that you live out. God wants us to live life in such a way that we feel his pleasure. First of all, that he's pleased, and then that we just feel that pleasure that God has in us as we live the Christian life. It's really absolutely an exciting, exhilarating, beautiful picture. And the last thing I'd like you to notice, and we're going to go back and go through these in a little more depth here in a second, but salvation is someone who lives in you. I don't know if you've heard this quote from Mark Twain or not, but Mark Twain said this. He said, few things are as annoying as a good example. And what he's referring to is, a good example can inspire you, but it can't empower you. A good example can make you, man, I want to be like that. But in no way does it help you to actually be like that. Well, Christianity does. Christianity is not just imitation. Jesus did say, follow me. And many places in the Bible we're told to keep our eyes on him. But the Bible also tells us that Christianity is him living inside of us. You know, it's kind of like, let's say I was really into boxing and I hire you to be my coach because I'm getting ready to box someone who's a lot bigger and a lot stronger than me. And so you're like, well, all right, well, what we're going to have to do is we're going to watch some video clips of some of the most amazing boxers. We'll start off with Muhammad Ali. Well, Muhammad Ali could really inspire me. But what if somehow his spirit, in some crazy way, could actually be inside of me? And so his abilities would become mine. And that's the basis. That's one of the basis of Christianity, is that Christ is actually living in you and in me, and we're doing this together. I'm sure you remember 1 John 4:4, but I wrote this down because I wanted to read it together this morning. Here's what it says. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Jesus Christ is actually living inside of you and me if you've become a Christian, helping you to live out the Christian life. All right? So, let's go back and go through these a little bit more slowly. Let's go back up to the very first one, the idea that salvation is something you own. The Bible describes it as how great a gift, one of the greatest gifts ever, so great a salvation is what it's described as. The greatest thing that you can own is not something that you can drive. It's not something that you can live in. It's not something that you can wear. The greatest thing that you can own is not something that you can buy or sell. The greatest thing that you can own is salvation. And the Bible says it is a gift from God. You can't earn it. I was so excited for us to be able to go over this morning because I just keep hearing, I just heard another story just this week about how sometimes we're confused about this. We can grow up in church our whole lives and think that we have to earn our way into heaven. You can't earn it. Please turn with me, if you would, quickly. You might want to keep your finger in Philippians, but turn with me to Titus chapter 2, I believe it is. Where did I write that? Yeah, Titus chapter 3. Okay, that's right before Hebrews. Hebrews is a little larger book near the end of your New Testament. Philemon is about half a page before Hebrews, and then Titus is right before that. Titus chapter 3. And we're going to read together verses 5 and 6. Just wanted you to see this for yourself. He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So you see right there, it is not by any good deed that I have done, any good work that I have done, that I am able to get into heaven. Turn back, if you would, with me to Philippians chapter 2 and look at verse 12, because some people are a little bit confused about this. In verse 12 that we're going through here together, he says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." So some people think that means that God's telling us we have to earn it, that we have to work for it. But notice it doesn't say work for your salvation. It says work out your salvation. Salvation is a free gift of God. And He bought it for us when He died on the cross. I'm sure that you've probably heard of the ABCs of salvation. A is admit that you're a sinner. The Bible very clearly tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we just need to honestly look at our lives, look at the Ten Commandments, look at God's standards, and realize that we're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus died and rose from the grave. And when He did that, He died for you. He died for me. He was taking our sin upon Himself. And finally, C, confess that He is Lord of your life. Give your heart to Him. And He says He'll come into your life and you'll be a Christian. Salvation is a free gift. Secondly, salvation is something that you live out. You live out. And what we just read there in Philippians 2, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, what God has already put inside of you and me, we're to be working it out. We're to be doing it. We're to be living it out. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. This is the book right before Philippians. Ephesians chapter 2. And read with me, first of all, verses 8 and 9. And this is a little bit of what we were just talking about also. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." See, there's not going to be anyone in heaven going around bragging, saying, "You know, man, you should see the stuff I had to do to get in here." You know, I just lived a terrible life, and so I had to, you know, I had to serve this many meals to the homeless, and I had to go visit the nursing home, and I had to help little old ladies across the street. No one's going to be up there saying that. No one's going to be boasting. We're going to be laying our crowns, our gifts, our rewards at the feet of Jesus and worshiping Him and thanking Him for what He did on the cross instead. But look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship. That word could also be translated craftsmanship. Some people have said the word means His masterpiece. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So salvation's a free gift. Now we live it out. Now we're doing those things that please our Father. Now, like Eric Little said, we are running so that we can feel His pleasure. God's excited about the life that you're living. Such a fun point. It's kind of like, let's say that someone came up to you and said, boy, I know you've got a lot of needs. You're under a lot of financial burden. You've got so many problems. I'm going to give you my gold mine. And so they give you something that's just invaluable. They give you a whole gold mine. They sign the title over and it belongs to you and it's all yours. So what do? Well, Monday morning you go out and you go in the gold mine, you bring out some gold. And you start using it for all of your needs. And Christianity is a little bit like that. God's given us the gold mine. We've got all the treasures. And it's just up to us now to begin using them. To begin living it out. As you can tell, I've really enjoyed studying about Eric Little this week. I've got a couple of things written down here that he said. He said, it's been a wonderful experience to compete in the Olympic Games and to bring home a gold medal. But since I have been a young lad, I have had my eyes on a different prize. You see, each of us is in a greater race than any I have run in Paris. And this race ends when God gives out the medals. And so you and me, we're running a race today. We're running that race. Tomorrow morning when you get up and get ready to go to work, you're running that race for the glory of God and for a reward. Isn't that cool? We're not reading those verses today, but God specifically says He's going to reward you. He is giving out the medals. Here's another one that He wrote. No man who is a man ever cared for the easy task. There's no enjoyment in the game that is easily won. It is that in which you have to strain every muscle and sinew to achieve victory that provides real joy. And isn't that true? Isn't that true? It's like when you are really in there and you're giving it everything you've got, that you really, really feel the achievement and feel the pleasure. And Christianity is like that sometimes. Some days are easy, you know. Some days you get up and, oh, I got this. But then there's a lot of days when, whew, it's challenging, right? And you're like, Lord, I need you. And if you get to the end of that day and you've been victorious and you've lived out your faith, boy, that's when there's even more joy. And of course, the Bible says, you know, in I think it's 1 Peter 4, when it's talking about these trials that we have, it says, listen, you're going to have even greater joy when the Lord comes back and you see Him in the clouds if you endure now. If you keep going through your trials and trusting Him and living by faith, when He comes back, it's going to give you even greater joy. So I think that's part of what He's talking about here. Now, before we go on, I want us to look at a couple of extra verses here in Philippians 2. Remember I told you I thought it was fascinating that this little section of Scripture is in the middle of this chapter? Let me explain that. What I mean by that. This chapter, we started off talking about it 2 weeks ago, I believe it was. And the idea is that we're to link arms and we're to humble ourselves and serve others. That's the idea. And then the rest of the chapter, except for this little section, we get four examples of that. Okay, we've already looked at the example of how Jesus did that last week. And next week, we're going to look at three more examples of people who did it. Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus. Okay, so this whole chapter is about humbling ourselves and serving others. But right here in the middle of it, we have this little section about living out our salvation and living for God's pleasure. And so I just think as we're serving others, it's like this chapter is a summary of the Christian life. This is living out the Christian life. You know, it's not so much all about me. It's about learning to live for others. And we're all on that journey. We've all been given this gold mine, but God wants us to go into the gold mine and work and use the gold for the good of others. And personally, I think he's given us a couple of mining tools here. Look at verse 14. He says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing." Curious little verse, isn't it? It's almost like you could say, live your whole life, do all things, live your whole life without grumbling or disputing. Ever try to do that? I have. Sometimes it's not that easy. We live in a world that is absolutely filled with grumbling and disputing. It's like, God, why'd you make me this way? You know, why couldn't I have been that way? And I'm, you know, I just constantly am asking him to change me in that area. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Wow, would people at your work stand up and took notice if you lived like that? Yeah, I agree. It would just make a huge difference. A huge difference if I did all things without grumbling or disputing. And look at the very next verse says, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. I mean, exactly a description of what our research in Philippians is all about, right? We're living in the midst of this crazy, world gone crazy. What are we to look like? Well, we're to look absolutely, utterly different than the world around us. We're to no grumbling, no disputing. The next chapter, chapter 3, it's all about joy. Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it's a safeguard for you. It's all about joy. We're to be very different, and so we're to have, as a result, we have these bright lights shining out God's joy, God's humility in a broken, needy place. And verse 16, holding fast the word of life. Some people have translated that holding forth the word of life. So it's either the idea of I'm holding on to God's word and I'm going to live by it, or I'm holding out his word for other people to see. It's one of those two ideas. Holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain or toil in vain. In that verse, Paul is actually asking them to live the Christian life so he'll get a reward. That's kind of cool, right? And we did talk about how God rewards us. And so Paul's saying, listen, I don't want to run this race in vain. So you guys hang in there, because I'm going to get a reward. And then he goes beyond that, and we're going to talk about his example next week of how he was laying down his life for them also. But but really fascinating. I believe God's given us some tools here for digging in the mind and for living to please Him and living out our Christian life. All right, let's dive into item number 3. Salvation is someone who lives in you. Look at verse 13 with me. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Isn't that interesting? I think that that's saying that God gives us both the desire to serve Him, and He gives us the strength and ability to serve Him. He's living inside of us, and so gives us that desire. Man, this is what I want to do. And then He helps us to go out and do it. It's interesting, the word for work there is a different word than you find up in verse 12. Verse 12 talks about us working it out, but this word for work is actually the Greek word energeo, and it's the same word that we get our English word energy from. And so I was looking it up in the Greek dictionary, and the idea behind it is God's working in a situation which brings it from one stage to the next, like an electric current energizing a wire to light a bulb. So it's kind of like we were talking in the ministry class the other day. You know, you can create this perfect, amazing, beautiful electric Christmas tree, but it's when you plug it in that it really gets lit up. And that's like us. God's making us into amazing creations, masterpieces of His. But to really be lit up, you have to be plugged in, which means connected to Him. So He's living life out through us. Here's another Eric Little quote for you that I really enjoyed. Actually, before I read it, when he was running the Olympics in Paris, it was extremely hot that year. I mean, the heat was almost unbearable from what I understand. And so I guess people were asking about their running strategy. You know, what's going to be your strategy for running this 400-meter race? You know, it's not really even your race. So this was his strategy. He says, I run the first 200 meters as hard as I can. Then for the second 200 meters, with God's help, I run harder. Pretty simple strategy, but I love it because his attitude was, listen, I'm going to do everything I can, but I'm getting God's help in this process. And isn't that like verses 12 and 13? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for God's at work in you. Energeo, He's the one energizing you. He's the one helping you to do this thing. When I was a kid, I consider it a kid now, I was about 20, and I was helping out with the youth group over at Smyrna Baptist Church over here in Goochland. And so I think it was choir practice night. And this guy who had just become a Christian that year, he was like in his mid-30s. So, I mean, I had already been a Christian a long time because I became a Christian when I was like 10 years old or something. But he had just become a Christian that year. He came into choir practice just off the hook excited. He just couldn't sit still. Yeah, what's going on, Gary? I can't remember what his last name was. But Gary, what's going on? Oh, man, I found the most incredible verse this week. He says, I'm memorizing it. Let me show it to you. And he's tearing open his Bible. And turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 2. This is what Gary was so excited about that night. Here's what he read. This is Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. There's one to memorize. And that's the principle, that's the very thing that we're talking about here today, is that God wants to live inside of us and through us and out of us, and He wants to make us new people, and we're serving Him with all of our might, with all of our energy, But he's in there working as well. And that's what makes things amazing. Do you just ask yourself this question for me this morning? Do you believe you can do things because of Christ being inside of you that you could never do on your own? Because that's what the Bible tells us. Something you would never think possible for you, you can do because he's living in you. Now, it's not maybe going to be easy. You know, it's not going to be the first try, or you may hit obstacles, but the Bible clearly teaches us that, and I firmly believe that. So salvation, something that you own, do you own it today? If not, I would love for you to come down front here during this last song and just say, Sam, let's pray about this. I've got this question, or I'm ready. I'm ready. I want to pray that prayer today. Salvation is something that you live out. You know, maybe you would like to start living out your salvation in a brand new way today. Maybe you'd like to join our church family. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you have become a Christian, but you've never been baptized. You know, we would love to partner with you in that. And also, never forget, salvation is someone who lives inside of you. We can go home from here today rejoicing because Jesus Christ is living in our hearts and empowering us to live a different life. Lord in heaven, I just want to thank you that you're alive, that you're living inside of us, Lord, that you are living in your word. I thank you, Father, for this book that you yourself described as being living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and that it reaches right down into the inside of us and touches our hearts and divides between truth and error and directs us in the way that you want us to go. Lord, thank you for it this morning. And Father, as you've been reaching into my heart this week, speaking to me, and even today speaking to me, I pray, Lord, that each of us would hear you here today and that we would respond in the way you desire, Father. Lord, just reach into our lives and help us to know what you would have us to do, Father. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.